Well, amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John. We're going to do something a little bit different. I know I say that a lot, don't I? I say it so much it even cracks me up. But we are going to do something a little different than what we normally do Wednesday night. I just felt compelled a little bit to, we're going to spend a few weeks here, just a couple weeks before Christmas. I guess it's just a couple Wednesdays, maybe two or three. And want to just kind of look at a different, the biblical, what I have the title on there, biblical principle of giving. Yeah, good. The biblical principles of giving, and want to just look at some of those things and look at some occasions, and may not be exactly what we think it was going to be. So tonight's a little bit of an interesting. Let's just get right into it. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 1. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Let's pray. Let's pray as we get started tonight. Father, we're thankful. Thankful for your word, Lord. Thankful for your instruction, your direction. And Lord, sometimes you give us a hard saying. And sometimes it's a challenge for us, Lord, to receive the things that you've laid out so clearly for us. And Lord, our culture and our society makes it a challenge to accept and really to rationalize, but Lord, help us tonight that we might just receive your word as it is, and Lord, you give us some direction, and we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to deal with a bit of a challenging thought tonight, okay? We're going to start with a bit of a challenging thought, which I feel we have to get through to get to the message I really want to share with you. So sometimes what happens is, I'm thinking about something, and the Lord kind of leads me to a thought, and I find some scripture on it. But if I just jump in the middle, it's like we lose the context. And without the context, we could actually end up, if I say, misinterpreting the scripture. Or if I say, misapplying it, or really not getting the full value of what he's trying to say. So we got to back up a little bit and get some of this, okay? So number one, now are we the sons of God. Okay, verse 2, he says this, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So, A, under that, the hope is what purifies us. The Bible says here, it says that we purify ourselves with that hope. Okay, it's something that we're an active participant in this purification. You say, sometimes, especially in the book of 1 John, we got to be careful of grabbing too much doctrine across and say, well, this is what he said. Well, he's dealing with the subject, and he's dealing with is trying to get us to see that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. He says it from the beginning of 1 John, and I can't preach the whole letter tonight, okay? I'd like to, but I can't do that. Y'all know I can't do that in one night. And so some of these things we're going to have to see. What he's talking about is this purifying ourselves. What he's talking about is something that this hope that we have in Him, it's a real rich relationship, and us having that hope is what purifies us, which causes us to live a pure life. So, number one under that, for the children of God, there is a new hope within us, okay? Amen? When we get saved, right, that new hope, there's a new hope in us. Before I thought, man, this is it. You know, 3 score and 10 is this life, this is it. And then I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I learned of His truth, and I found out, whew, there's something a whole lot more than just what this was. Aren't you glad for that? That's a real hope. That's a real hope. That's why people at Christmas time, there's some that are like happy and like, because this is a great, wonderful time that we're thinking about what Jesus Christ came. And then there's others that all they can think about is fighting for toys at the store and trying to get something. And you know what I'm saying? We don't do that Black Friday. I kind of miss it a little bit. We were in Louisiana, in Lafayette, and we were there for a Black Friday. This was probably 10, 12 years ago. 14 years, something like that. And my wife and I went down there. I don't know if we had in mind. Probably there were some things because that's when everybody went to the store before they did online. And I'll tell you, you could get into Walmart. You could get into Walmart before. They'd open up the doors, but only certain things. They would take the wrapper off each one. I'm telling you, and by the time, all of a sudden, you started hearing, I mean, just noise. I'm telling, like a rocket taking off. And man, there was fighting, there's punching over bed sheets. I mean, fights, and I'm thinking, man, this is awesome. I mean, in the way of like, these people are crazy, it's funny to watch, you know, it's just, I don't know if it was awesome, but it's probably the wrong one. It's just funny. Yeah. But a part of it, you're like, man, are people getting shot back here? And you're kind of getting a little nervous, but it's just, you know, that's not the hope we're talking about. The hope of a good deal on Black Friday, right? There's more hope than that. Now, we do want that good deal, don't miss up. But this hope is something different. It's a new hope. And then B, but there are some still without hope. Okay? So when he says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, he's not talking about us as in humanity. He's not talking about us as in all of creation. He's talking about us that have received Jesus Christ. But there's some that are still without hope. Look at verse 4 now. So, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Now, what I want you to see here is there's a contrast here. He's talking about the saved, and then he's going to talk about those that are without Christ. And he's making this contrast, and I want you to get that. Verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So, listen, number one, under that, sin is not in the life of one who has become the child of God. This could be a little confused. We're going to clean it up a little bit as we get down here. But here's what he's really getting at with this thing. There's a difference. There's a real distinctive difference. Under that. So listen, if the Lord is our Father, if God is our Father, then we are of His nature now. Right? We're of His nature now, and so we produce what He produces. It's what He's saying here. So what he talked about it before, beloved, in verse 2, we are now the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we're kind of seeing this thing. And the thing is, there's sin in those that's transgression, but Jesus came to remove the power of sin. Is that right? And now what he came to do? Remove the power of sin upon us. So, listen. What he's saying here in verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So there's no sin there. Listen, this is not my determination. I didn't write this, right? It's the Lord's. And so in case we don't, you're like, what exactly is he trying to say? Look at verse 6. He's going to kind of, in case we don't completely have it clear, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him, what was those next two words? Sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Okay. So number 3, the child of God does not what? does not sin in this new nature. You see what? See why we have to kind of back up a little bit to get, because this is there's some things here he's dealing with that it's a little bit like, well this, how does this work? We're going to get there. So the knowledge of God is what prevents sin. Again, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Okay? He that abides in Christ sins not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. So those that sin, by the way, this is a little tricky thing. This thing sin, well, it means people that habitually sin all the time. No, it doesn't mean that. It really just means there's nothing in the grammar that suggests that this is habitual sin. Well, you say, well, it's not like, well, this is somebody that has a lot of bad habits that continues that doesn't get out of sin. Isn't it funny how we like to draw our own lines? Like, how much sinning does it take to be a sinner? Yeah. How many lies does it take to be a liar? You liar. Right? If somebody lies, you call them a liar right away, don't they? If somebody steals your stuff, they're a thief. Right? Right? That a thief, you took my pencil. Right? You know? And so, but sometimes we like to draw lines because it's easier to, you know what we try to do? We try to figure out how do we put people in boxes of Christianity. We want to put, it's interesting what we do. We want to put the whole world in boxes of Christianity. Right, we want to put all of the people I know and all the people because we want to put them all in, and certainly they're all Christianity. But you see a whole variance of ways of life, and so the Lord's given it to us, and it's a little bit different than how we want to always put it together. So this it's the knowledge of God that prevents sin. So B, and whosoever lives in sin, that person does not what? They don't know God. Let me just read it again, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Okay, that's one group. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Okay, I keep missing that word a little bit. But when it says here, the second part of verse 6, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. That's past tense. That's past it. It means they've never known him, right? So somebody that sins, it's not just that they don't know him now, it's that they've never known him. Okay? We're following? Y'all with me? It seems a little strict, doesn't it? Seems a little strict. A little certain. Like, if anybody sins, they don't know God. I didn't write it. I read it. I didn't write it. I'm reading it. Okay, it seems so decided, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like so like black and white? It's like if you know him, if you know him, you don't sin, and if you sin, you don't know him. That's kind of how this thing goes. Number four, this isn't suggestive; it is descriptive. Okay, so what I mean by that is he's not saying. This. He's not saying, because you're a child of God, you shouldn't sin. That's not what he's saying. It's not suggestive to you. It's not, hey, children of God, right? Don't sin. That's not what he's saying. He's saying this is descriptive. This is what children of God do. By the way, this is what people that are not children of God do. They sin. So look at verse 7. It's hard for y'all not to read ahead, isn't it? Y'all like reading ahead, like I got this. Just I'm going to get there. You know I'm going to get there at every verse, right? I'm going to get there, and we're going to deal with all these verses. Y'all like reading ahead, and y'all missing what I'm saying. I see y'all. I would do the same thing. I get it. Anytime we hear something that's a little bit like, wow, that's different, I got to grab the context for myself. And that would, I appreciate that, though. That's all right. But pay attention with me. All right. Number 7, verse 7. Little children, let no man, what? Deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, who's the he? Jesus Christ, even as he is righteous. Okay, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Yeah. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay? It's descriptive. So look A under that. This is how the Lord said we are to distinguish between the righteous and the unrighteous. Do they sin or do they do righteousness? Okay? I just don't think we should judge people. So this isn't about judging people. It's about what do you see in people? Right? Y'all with me here? I want y'all to get this thing. I don't think we ought to go around judging people and, I wonder what they think. You know, listen, the only person that can know what people think is Jesus. And he did that all the time. People start thinking something, he'd say, and he'd start talking about what's in their head. That'd be so creepy, right? So, aren't you glad your wife can't do, you know what I mean? You'd be like, oh man, I can't think nothing. And no wives would be like, why aren't you ever thinking anything? Anyway, So here's the deal. We have this thing. It's meant to be, and the Lord said there's going to be a distinction. There's going to be a way to distinguish about between them. So B, one lives in sin, the other does not. Do not be deceived. You hear what I'm saying, folks? What I'm saying is what the Scripture says, by the way. Do not be deceived. Do not be. Look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So, the seed of God, the Spirit of God, the knowledge of God, all this thing, this is what hinders us from sin. So, keeps us from sin. So, number 5. Again, this is how Christianity, that's your blank there, number 5. This is how Christianity is manifested in individuals. How many tonight, that's the first time you've read that verse that says right there, that says, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. How many is that first time you're like, man, it's the first time I remember that? Nobody, everybody's seen that before? Okay, so, when you first come across it, it's a little bit of a shocking verse, isn't it? We want to ask this. So then, Pastor, are you saying, that's what we want to start with. Are you saying, no, I'm reading. I'm not saying I'm reading, right? But you want to say, are you saying we're supposed to be sinless? Right? That's a pretty fair conclusion, isn't it? He that is born, it's what it says there, verse, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Are you saying so we're to be sinless? And if I'm not sinless, I'm not saved? Is that what you're saying? I'm not saying anything. I'm just reading, right? Y'all get that? I want us to see, it's not what comes out of this mouth, but what comes out of this book. Now, hold your place. Well, you don't really have to hold your place. We're going to turn back one page. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. I'm going to really help you out with this. This is going to help you. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we what? Deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, doesn't that help you now? Doesn't that help you? Because over there in chapter 3, we're saying, he that's born of God does not sin. But over here, back in verse chapter 1, it says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar, you've deceived yourself. Doesn't that help us now? You're like, wow, okay, that settles everything. Yeah, just a little bit. You're like, what's going on here? Okay, listen, let me just say this. No, we will not be sinless. Some of y'all are like, whoa, man, I was wondering if I need to get saved again. All right, no, we're not going to be sinless. We will still struggle with the flesh, right? As long as we're on this earth, we're going to struggle with the flesh. Same thing the Apostle Paul did. Same thing we find throughout the Scriptures. Peter struggled with the flesh, right? We find that this isn't, but it is the knowledge of God as a child of God that keeps us from sinning. That's what he said in verse 6 of chapter 3. That's what he's dealing with in verse. Those that sin, whosoever sinneth, hath not seen him, neither known him. They don't know him. That's why they live in sin. You say, are you saying that everybody that lives in sin doesn't know God? I'm not saying that. The Word of God is saying that. You see that? So, well, you're taking, I'm not taking, I'm just, I'm barely even commentating on it. Right? It's very clear. So, hey, I want to say this. I want to clearly say this, and then we're going to move on to what I really want to get to, okay? God's children do not naturally sin any longer. It is unnatural for the believer. You see, it's not what we do. Okay? You say, you mean we never do it? That's not what John's saying. He already said we're going to sin. If you think you don't sin, you're a liar. You make him a liar, rather. We deceive ourselves. It's not that it's not that we don't have the capacity to sin or to get to sinlessness. No. What he's saying is it's not what we do. It's not our nature anymore. Matter of fact, when the believer sins, they don't like it, even though they've done it. Right? When a believer sins, it feels vulgar and disgusting and hurtful and painful and gross. When the unrighteous sin, it's fine. So, who would be the one justifying sin? You see, right? I mean, I don't want to, you know, I like to make things cut and dry because I work like that. I like cut and dry, black and white, and just this is it, this is right, this is wrong. But I don't want to get to that too much here, other than let's just see what God says here. He said, listen, it's unnatural for the believer to sin. The problem is what we want to do, I hate that we're like this, but this is what we do, is we want to make everyone saved. Everyone's a Christian. And so a person that lives in sin, follows sin, desires sin, they do not fit the biblical description of Christianity. Amen? You see that? You say, well, you know, everybody's a sinner. You know, well, we see that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then he deals with right away after that there is we're all once like that, but we've been renewed, right? We've been washed, we've been changed, we've been given a new nature. So I think we have to be real cautious of saying, of just putting this stamp of everyone that just says they're a Christian but lives like the biblical example of the unrighteous. We got. I don't know that we need to go around saying, you're not really saved. You're not really saved. That's seeing you sin. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about, we're trying to just see there's something between, there's a difference. My job isn't to go around and figure out everybody out, right? By our fruits, right? By the fruits we'll know them. So, if sin is a natural way of life for an individual, this is what I'm saying here. If sin is a natural way of life, according to what we find here in verse 6, that individual, he or she, does not know God. If sin is natural, they don't know God, according to chapter 3, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord, right? This isn't our idea. It's not mine. I would make it easier. If it was me writing it, if I was writing the Bible, I would make a kumbaya type of Bible. Let's all just come join hands. Let's all be friends. That way, because I like more people to like me. I like to be liked. Don't you? Don't you like to be liked? Yeah, y'all do. You're like, I don't care. Yeah. But this isn't the way God works. So look, now we're going to get a little bit closer to what we're trying to get to. Number two, few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. So, A, we are grossly outnumbered in this world. When I'm talking about we, I'm talking about they that should be called the sons of God. We are grossly outnumbered. Few there be that find it. By the way, it's not that it's hidden. It's not that the grace of God and the wisdom of God and the truth of God is hidden so well that, man, it's hard. It's hard to find. No, no, no. Not like that. Few that will be willing to find it. This is the thing. Sorry. It doesn't like me over there. So, few there be that find. We're gross. Number one, therefore, the Lord has given us strict instruction on how to treat fellow children of God. You're like, okay, now are we getting there? Because I thought this was about the biblical aspect, biblical giving. Okay, look at verse 10 now. In this, The children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Wait, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Let me try that again. I think I must have read that wrong. In this, the children of God are manifest. Okay? And we're talking about what he's talking about up to here, who doesn't sin. And the children of the devil. Okay? The children of the devil are also manifest. Whosoever doeth not righteousness, not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Isn't this weird? Isn't this kind of weird? How he groups these, God is giving us the distinction. Okay? He that does righteousness, he that doesn't do righteousness, and also he that doesn't do righteousness, also he that doesn't love the brethren. So, somebody that doesn't love the brethren is grouped in with those that don't know God and those that do unrighteousness. Isn't that kind of strange to you? Y'all like, it's tired. It's Wednesday night. I know, we're a little tired. It is Wednesday night, long day. I was tired before I got here, but I'm getting to be up here, jumping around, moving around. My blood's flowing now. So I'm a little, you're at a disadvantage to what I got going on. But what I'm saying is, it's a little bit strange to think about. We're grouping in people that don't know God, people that are doing unrighteousness, and that don't love their brethren. If we were going to make those in a list, probably that don't love their brethren would probably maybe not even be on that list, or at least be way down there. But here it's grouped together quite directly. Look at verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should, what? Love one another. We should love one another. This is the message we've heard since when? The beginning. All right? Under that, we desperately need one another. Why do we desperately need one another? Because we're grossly outnumbered. Amen? And so, because the world does not, nor will they ever love us. Okay? You say, well, there's some people in the world that love you. Okay. I know we use the word love as a little bit strange way. The truth, the love isn't like, you know, I love my family, you know, my extended family. Why do I love my extended family? I don't know, because we're born from the same blood. I don't even like some of them. You know what I mean? But we love them because, you know, it's my family, so we love them. But it's kind of a different kind of love, isn't it? The love of God is a little bit different. Look at B. Even those as close as family will not love us as God intended. Well, that's not nice to say, is it? Well, you just don't know my family. We're different. I know everybody's family. Everybody's family is the most unique, awesomest family that's ever existed, right? That's kind of the way, unless your family is terrible, you're like, yeah, mine's the worst. So we have those kind of things. But look at verse 12 here. He said, not as Cain. Y'all remember that fella? We're talking about back in the beginning, right? Even not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Wait a minute. Cain was of the devil, right? Cain was of the devil is what he's saying here. And slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. You see the distinction here? That's why we had to go back to all this, because if we just jumped in there, you're like, huh? Yeah, whatever. No, but you see, he keeps dealing with this thing between doing righteousness and doing sin. And there's this kind of situation going on, and he goes back to Cain, and he talks about Cain and his family relationships. Could you imagine a brother killing a brother? No. Let me go back a little bit. Could you imagine one man killing one-fourth of humanity? And there's four people. He killed his only brother. Like, there were no friends. I like my friends better. No, that was it. He killed the only other guy other than his parents. Like, what's wrong with you? Why would Cain kill? I mean, what is wrong? Maybe you almost want to say, well, maybe he didn't know like death was like permanent, right? I don't know. Probably there was other deaths because there's animal deaths. But the Bible tells us why, though, doesn't it? He killed him because he was living in unrighteousness. But not just that, But because Abel, his deeds were righteous. So he didn't just kill Abel because he was evil and he was of his father, the devil. He killed him also because he was doing righteous. Folks, I'm telling you, this is what God is trying to help us to understand here. We are grossly outnumbered. Okay? Cain, number two, look, Cain killed his brother because his brother was of a different father. Right? He was of a different father. He was of his father, the devil. Hey, you know, you want to know the quickest way to get your family to hate you? Is to do righteousness. It's A under that. Just as your heavenly Father does. So am I trying to get my family to hate me? No, I'm not trying to say get your family to hate you. I'm saying the quickest way is you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you do righteousness. And all of those, even those that should have loved you, they don't. I'm not making this up. I'm not encouraging it. I don't like it. It's just the way it is. Okay, this is what the Bible tells us, the way it is. And we see that. We see it. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. So, and by the way, it's not because you dislike them, but because they despise God's way. By the way, listen, they despise God's way in their own life. So why would they hate somebody living righteous? Because I don't want to have to live righteous. I want to live the way I want to live. So I despise those that are living righteous because it convicts me, compels me, and it frustrates me. And so we find that situation. Look at verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world, what? Hate you. Marvel not if they hate you. Don't be surprised if the world hate you. So be. We are in this thing, what? Together. We're in this thing together. Look at verse 14 now. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Okay, wait, this is good. Ready? We know that we've passed. How do you know that you're saved, right? How do we know that we've received eternal life? We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love God. The brethren. So if you want to be saved, you love people and you can be saved. No, that's not what it's saying. This isn't instructive. It's descriptive. How do we know? Why do we come here and try to encourage one another? Why? I mean, I don't even like y'all. No, I'm just kidding. But there might be people that you don't like, people that rub you wrong way. And people, why would you help somebody and try to be a blessing to somebody that you don't know? They annoy you at times. There's some people that you ever had people in the like. You ever had people sit around people? In the, oh man! Don't you ever want to just like rip the pen out of their hand? Is that, are y'all like that? Is it just me? And you're just like. You're in a place and somewhere you're in a place. You don't know the people. I'm just like, Lord, give me grace. You know, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes people do things. So, but what's interesting is we want to love one another. We want to love God's people in a way. So this is what he's saying here. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in, what's that word? No, verse 14. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Okay, he's abiding in death. Here's what he's saying. Here's what's happening here. He hasn't passed from death unto life. He's still in death, is what he's saying. Okay. So number one, we find another great distinction of the saved. And A, there is a newfound love for God's children. B, to not have this love is to still abide in death. It's to still be there. Number two, it is not, watch this, so it's not that if we don't love the brethren, okay, get what I'm saying here. I'm trying to write this down in a way that makes sense. I'm going to explain it. It's not that if we don't love the brethren, we'll face judgment. man, I got to love them. If I don't love them, I'm going to face judgment. No. A, under that. Rather, those that are still under judgment of death will not love the brethren. Again, this is descriptive. It describes what someone that's passed from death unto life. They love the brethren. They want to be around God's people. Right? It's what they want to do. B, this is again an indication or a manifestation of what is already inside of the believer. Because the seed of God, what's there? Look at verse 16 now. I didn't do verse 15 there. Let me read verse 15. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. More, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Listen, number three. We are in this life together. This is what is so important for the Lord to get across to us. This is what the Lord is trying to get across to us, and we're in this thing together. So, A, we ought to love them even greater with a more fervent love than we would for those without Christ. So, listen, it's this, folks. This is so much bigger than simply family or country. It is what what the God of creation has designed us for. This right here. Loving the brethren. You say, well, you know, what about family? Listen, I'm just telling you, this is what the Word of God is telling us. B, if you're saved, it's in you. You don't need to stir it up. I mean, maybe we need to stir it up at times, but it's already in you. Right? So C, how does this manifest itself in my life personally? Verse 17. This is what I wanted to get to right here. This is the mess. I know we're already past time. Now I finally get to it. Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So we had to go through all that just to get to really what he's talking about here. Right? So number one, need is an interesting word. We are not talking about communism here, okay? This is speaking of the brethren having need to survive this life. So number two, under this, sometimes people do that which causes their own harm and hurt. That's not need, okay? When you go and overspend and live extravagantly and like, oh yeah, I don't have any food. Well, that's not need. That's really poor choices. You know, that's not living for the Lord all along the way. We're not talking about that thing. But number three, but there should never be a case where the brethren live in need while any of us dwell in excess. Now, who am I saying? Am I talking about the whole world? No, I'm not talking about the whole world. There's always going to be people around the world that live in need. But the people that God places in our life, I'm talking about, what people are we talking about? The beggar on the street? Are we talking about the guy down there that he's just trying to get a little bit of money to go get him another bottle? Who are we talking about? It's very clear who we're talking about. We're talking about the children of God, right? And so then, listen, A, under that, this is the compassion that indwells the child of God. And B, this is the love of God in us. And C, what a wonderful thing it is. He talks about this, he says, verse 17, whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He said this, folks, this isn't a, and this is where we need to be careful with this passage, and I'm closing my Bible, we're going to be done here. Here's where we've got to be careful with this passage. So we just read there that we're not ever to sin. If somebody sins, they're not saved. That's not what that says. What he's talking about is what it looks like, the child of God, what it ought to look like, so much so. And he deals with all this so much so that he said, If there is not a love for the brethren, we are stacking ourselves up with those that don't even know God and have never known God, with the lost. He said, listen, if you see somebody in need like this, I'm talking about biblical principle of giving. Biblical principle of giving, we're not talking about, folks, by the way, we're not necessarily just talking about money. Maybe we're talking about, you know, giving them a meal, inviting people over for a meal, right? Sharing a meal, right? Not just writing a check. Now, we have to write checks to people who live on the other side of the planet, because we can't go give them some food. But sometimes what we're talking about, the love of the brethren, is being with them. Well, where do you feel loved more? Somebody that gave you $20 to go get lunch? Or somebody that went to lunch with you? Compassion. Compassion. We're talking about biblical giving. I'm telling you, folks, we're in this thing together. We have got to. You say, well, man, there's only a handful of us here tonight. I know. I wish all those would come out here. And I'm going to preach this again on Sunday. No, I'm kidding. You know what I want? I want everybody to be fixed. Don't you? I just want everybody to be fixed. Because you know I can't fix people. You know who I can fix? This guy. Yeah, this guy. Work on right here and be what I want ought to be. And I need to be reminded this is what biblical giving is about. It's giving to the brethren. You say we only said it starts at the household of faith. We don't give to lost people. That's what it's saying. No, it's not true, folks. We're going to get to that later. Jesus fed people on the side of the hill, right? He gave to all kinds of sinners. We're not talking about exclusively, but he says it should start at the household of faith. That's what God put together is so important. Let's all stand together tonight. Father, I do pray that you'd help us, Lord. Certainly a lot here in the middle of the week. And Lord, I pray that you'd, Lord, take this passage and these truths and let it linger in our hearts and mind. And Lord, that we might truly desire to be what you intend us to be. And Lord, we might examine in our own lives, am I really satisfied with what I am for you? And Lord, I pray that you bless now. Lord, help your people. Help us each, Lord. We need your hand of guidance, and Lord, we certainly need your spirit. Well, thank you for it now in Jesus' name.